Queridos hermanos y hermanas, dear friends, there are some animals, I think, that get bad press. I think, for example, of that rather naive, goofy dog that shows up in the Daily Journal Sentinel comics satchel by name, who is really very naive and on the edge of stupidity constantly. So dogs get a bad press with that character in the comics. And then I think about goats from the parable of the Great Judgment, the Last Judgment, because it's goats on the left hand destined for punishment because they didn't offer food or drink or clothing to the Lord when he was hungry and thirsty and naked and in prison, etc. So I decided goats kind of get a bad name too, and we enhance that when we call somebody an old goat. And then, of course, there's also sheep. They are praised in that parable of the Last Judgment, praised because they were attentive to the needs of the Lord, whether they realized it was the Lord or not. But as a matter of fact, certainly among urban folks, sheep somehow get the stereotype of being rather dumb, docile, bland, mindless, devoid of personality or character, who just kind of follow along whatever somebody else is doing. And anybody who knows sheep knows that that really isn't accurate, because they're very individuals, as anyone with a pet knows, that an individual, that a pet is very distinctive. I mean, some are more curious, some are stubborn, some are independent, some hang together in a group. Well, I just want to set the record straight by saying that it's easy to dismiss this part of the gospel because we have our own stereotypes about the animal point, and it isn't fair to the sheep. But let's not get stuck in the image, or rather in the stereotype of the image. Because the gospel, the real point of the gospel, is a bond of unity and concern between shepherd and sheep. A bond of unity and concern that deepens and grows. We're told, reminded, that a shepherd is such that the sheep hear her or his voice. And hearing is more than simply acknowledging the loudness or softness, the lowness or highness of the tone. Biblically, hearing always means to respond in some way, and more than just listen. I've said any number of times that there is no Hebrew word for obey. It's hear. If you hear, if you really hear, then you respond accordingly. So if they hear the shepherd's voice, there's a response. There's a relationship that comes immediately. Or we're told that the shepherd knows them. And once again, to know something biblically is more than simply to know the facts about a person, age and name and address and social security number or date of birth. It's more than that. It's to care about the person, to respond in some way. And the example I love to use to illustrate this and to get into the heart of the image is an X-ray technician can know how to read X-rays and have an exact knowledge of that. So you look, she or he looks at the X-ray and says, well, this is the issue. There's a dark spot there, and that doesn't matter, but this one does. And then suddenly you give a different kind of X-ray, and you say, this is your mother. Oh. You read the X-ray, but you read it differently, because suddenly everything on that X-ray means something more than just the X-ray. So that's the dimension of knowing. And then, of course, following. It's imitating. It's not just trotting along, plodding after. It's imitating. It's being part of a journey. So when the gospel says, my sheep hear my voice, and they know, and I know them, and they follow me. This is an image for a dynamic, deepening relationship that is transforming and becomes more and more effective. It's not simply plodding along after somebody else. So the bond is so close, the gospel goes on to say, so close that the mutual care and the sense of shared purpose and the openness and the self-disclosure and the confidence and the trust and willingness to work for the common good is something that already is a share the next stage. All of that in the way in which this image of sheep and shepherd is used for us today is communicated to us, and with an invitation to enter into that kind of relationship. Dynamic, deepening. It's almost as if one moves then from introduction, I'd like you to meet so-and-so, to acquaintanceship, yeah, I know them, to friendship, to love. There's a dynamism about this in human relationships, and it's also there in some way in that image of sheep and shepherd. I have perhaps four different human situations over which I could put the template of this sheep and shepherd image in order to help us understand what it's trying to communicate and lift up. Marriage. We say to couples getting married this time of the year, remember, you're preparing for a marriage, not just for a wedding. And remember that your relationship will continue to deepen if you're willing to work at it. And remember that probably the way you argue is going to be the test of what kind of relationship you have. And the first real blown argument is a remarkable opportunity. It's to talk about what you think clearly, candidly, respectfully, in such a way that you disclose yourself and come together in a new and wonderful way. It's possible. So sheep and shepherd is also about the relationship of marriage. Or something that I'm familiar with this time of the year, with repeated examples, is the confirmation retreat. This is the time of the year. I read about 2,000 letters every spring from people preparing for confirmation. And they almost always talk about the retreat. They almost always say, you know, we had to go on this darn thing, and I dreaded it. And I knew it was just going to be awful that we were going to sit around for 2 days praying, and I couldn't imagine anything that I less wanted to do with my weekend than that. But when they came together, they almost invariably say, they came together, and they had some icebreakers, and suddenly discovered that they could have fun, that they could talk about things that really mattered, that they could understand that their issues and their doubts and their concerns and their uncertainties were in fact shared with everybody once they got to know each other better. And the letters will say, I didn't want to go home. And my response often is, this is also what we're talking about. People coming together, deepening in their relationship, understanding each other more and more, being united and transformed in the process. And it isn't just sheep and shepherd. It's this dynamism that brings us together in friendship. Another example. Or interreligious relations. I mean, that's also in the same template. I was invited to go to Boston a week ago to give a keynote to a Jewish Catholic conference, international conference. And the question was, are we in the golden age of our relationships? Well, we've had some very serious bumps on the road within the last couple of years between Christians and Jews. A new translation of a prayer that suddenly suggested conversion. And you know, our Jewish partners say, whoa, wait a minute. We've gone through all these years in which there were forced conversions over history, and now this issue of tolerance and no persecution and new relationship, a new age, and all of a sudden you're talking about conversion? Wait a minute. So there were several things like that. But in talking about the issue and explaining it and coming to a better understanding of what is involved, the question was, is this the golden age? And I said, an argument isn't necessarily a sign that it isn't. It could be, if we know how to argue carefully and thoughtfully and respectfully in such a way that we understand each other. So there are so many examples of human relationships in the midst of which God is at work, and through which these growth and dynamic response to each other and to the mystery of God who brings us together in our diversity. Hearing, really hearing, knowing, really caring, traveling, following, it's progressive, it's dynamic, and it's what church is all about, what it should be. So it's not merely a shepherd and dumb, docile sheep who pray and pay and obey. It's a group of people with the risen Lord in our midst confronting the difficult issues together in honesty and care. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me fully, freely, wisely, and well. And that's what we're called to do. And we keep coming back every Sunday and kind of practice this. That's why they call us practicing Catholics. And that's the gospel of the Lord.